Get some mic going here. Yeah, good morning again. Glad that all of you are worshiping with us this morning. I want to ask the Williamson family to come up. We got Kim and Julie. Raise your hand, Kim and Julie. And Megan and Pretty Ivy right there. Yeah, you. They come this morning. Now, Megan is going to be baptized at the end of the service, along with three others from our church. We're going to have four baptisms today. Yes. Excited about that. They come to also today. This family comes to join our church. Are you going to join the church? I got her embarrassed now. Okay. So, you have already accepted Christ, Megan, but we will do that officially with the baptism at the end of the service. But I want to ask all of you, is Jesus Christ still your Lord and Savior? Yes. Amen. Will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Yes. Amen. We welcome you. I'm going to give fist bumps. We welcome you. Do I get a fist bump? No? Okay. Normally we would come and greet y'all, but with COVID stuff, if y'all just can be seated now. Greet this family before you get out of here today. Yes. If the children will come and gather with Miss Carlene for the children's message.
Hey guys, how are y'all? All right. Everybody good? Oh, excited to see everybody today. Are you excited to be here? Uh-huh. All right.
We're good. I don't like to be in this front for a while.
You don't like to be in the front?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Can you sit? Okay, right there. You find a place? Right there. Very good. Everybody have a good week?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So this morning we're going to play a little game. Okay. I have some things in my bag. Okay. And when I take one out, you're going to tell me what goes with it. Can y'all sit right there? Ivy, can y'all sit right there? Very good. So I'm going to pull out a couple of things. Do y'all like to guess what goes with something? Okay. So the first one's pretty easy, okay? First one is peanut butter.
Jelly.
Jelly. Very good. Very good. So I did bring the jelly, too, so in case we get really hungry, okay? All right. So then we have A hammer. Nails. Very good. I brought a few nails, so it's important they go together, right? Okay. Okay. So next one is pepper. That's right. They go together, right? That salt and pepper go together. That's right. So it's a really fun game. I just put a few things in. So, but some things just don't go together, right? So if you, would you put salt and peanut butter together?
Yes.
No. Okay. How about if you put, would you put a hammer and jelly together?
No.
No. That would not be very good, right? So some things really just go together well, right? So I have one more thing to ask you what goes with it, okay? All right, you ready? Okay, the last thing, the one thing it says right here says when we say we love Jesus, what goes with that?
God,
okay. What else?
The Holy Spirit.
He's above us. That's right.
And
what?
And
forgiveness. Yes. Yeah, so it says.
And he's in heaven.
He's in heaven. That's right. So when we say we love Jesus, the Bible tells us what goes perfectly with that. Okay? It says in John 14:23, it says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. So if we say we love Jesus, do we need to obey Jesus? Yes. Okay. So if we say, I love Jesus, but we tell a lie, is that obeying Jesus? Does that go together? No. What if we say, oh, I love Jesus, but I take something that doesn't belong to me? Does that go together?
No.
No. Okay. So if we say, I love Jesus, but I'm mean and not kind, does that go together?
No.
No. So do we want to go together with Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. So when we say we love Jesus, we want to obey him because his word tells us to love and be kind to one another, right? Just that, that is obeying. That's right, you know?
This week, I bought Josie and Jeff a jacket.
Is that right? That's very good. So, just like when we say we love Jesus and we obey him, it's just like saying peanut butter and jelly goes together. So when you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich this week, remember to say, I love Jesus and obey him. Can y'all do that? Can y'all do that? Okay. Yeah, let's.
Peanut butter and jelly can't go together without the bread.
Without the bread. Well, I guess it could, but, you know, but that's okay. So let's say a prayer, okay? Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you love us. And I'm thank you for all these boys and girls that are here today. Just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go this way. Yes?
Well, that was a chatty bunch. We may need to have a moment of silence for the children's church workers, maybe. Well, good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Good to have those who are worshiping online with us. If you would register your attendance with us, that would be helpful. Jeff sent out an email on Friday, as he normally does. I need to make myself a note here. And he alluded to a couple of events coming up. I just wanted to mention those once again. The Children's Hunger Fund is a ministry that Zion Lutheran Church has taken and ran with, and they have an annual push end of August for that ministry, and they do other events during the year, fundraising events through the year. And tomorrow at Jason's Deli from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., they will donate 25% of the proceeds that they bring in. Now, if you choose to eat there, Jason Deli on Catclaw, if you choose to eat there, then you need to mention Children's Hunger Fund or Zion Lutheran Church, and then they will donate 10% of that that ticket to the ministry. So that's tomorrow from 10 to 8 p.m. What? What did I say? 25%. 25%. So, sorry about that. I was thinking tithing. I don't know why I was thinking tithing. 25%. Thanks, Jeff. Second thing, we are hosting a Voice of the Martyrs simulcast this Friday night from 6:30 to 10, and that will be in the youth room. And Natalie Grant will lead worship during that simulcast, and there will be some testimonies from part of the persecuted church around the world. And you know, we're so far removed from that, I don't think we really understand what people go through around the world. You know, Scripture mentions that when one part of the body suffers, all of us should suffer. And, you know, that should at least bring us a little bit of grief to know that people are suffering around the world. And so this event may be an eye-opening experience for some of us. You know, they're always looking for ministerial support, but more than that, they're looking for prayer support for those who are persecuted. I believe they actually assign you someone to pray for. I believe that's how that ministry works. So that's this Friday night, 6:30 to 8 p.m., 6:30 to 10 p.m. in the youth room. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Remind you that that word Catholic means universal. This morning, I believe we need to pray for people who have needs, and we do this from time to time. And I'm going to ask those who who feel comfortable standing and who feel comfortable having people maybe gather around them with their masks on, if they have a need they would like to be prayed over, to go ahead and do that. Go ahead and stand. It may be a situation with you. It may be a situation with a family member. You may be standing in place of somebody else. But we just want to take these needs before the Lord. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to mention that need. But, you know, this is a safe place, a safe space to do this. So if you need prayer for anything this morning, I'm just going to invite you to stand. Thanks, David. Anyone else? I'll tell you what, if you do have a need, just slip your hand up and then just slip it back down. Just saying, Lord, I'm needy this morning. That doesn't mean you have to stand. For those of you, some of y'all gather around David, if you don't mind. David's comfortable. Go ahead and please respect his space and put a mask on as you do that. Let's pray, church. Father, I thank you, God, for your love for us. I thank you, God, for your love for your people. God, I just thank you the way that you just love your creation. You love people. And Father, it's a love that knows no boundaries. It's a love, there's no conditions placed on this love. And Father, that love springs from a well that will never run dry. And God, we thank you for grace and mercy that flows from your love. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to love you back, and we can only love because you first loved us. So Father, help us to rest in that love this morning. Father, lift up David and his situation, Lord. You know full well what that's about. And God, I just pray that you move in power. Lord, I pray that you bring healing where healing's needed. I pray you bring peace where peace is needed. God, bring strength where strength is needed. And Father, bless that family, Lord. And I know there's others in this congregation who are needy as well. And so, Father, you know full well what needs to happen in hearts this morning. You know full well what needs to happen in bodies this morning. So I pray, God, that you be their healer. Lord God, you be their comforter. Lord, you be their sustainer. And Lord, just move in power. And Lord, I also want to lift up Reuben to you, Father, and then the Reyes family. God, there's needs there. And Lord, I just pray that you just show yourself faithful to that family. Show yourself mighty. Lord, if there seems like there's not a way in that family, make a way. And just touch them deeply. Oh, Father, we so invite the Holy Spirit here this morning. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome in this place to move and have your way, to touch hearts and set captives free. And help us to position our hearts to be receivers of what you would have for us this morning. And God, as we continue to gather together, God, I just ask you protect us from illness, Lord. And I pray for those who are struggling with the virus, those in the hospital, Lord, I pray blessings on them, healing for them. Encouragement for them. Father, just be good. And Lord, to be honest, you know nothing other than to be good. You're always good. And we praise you for your goodness. And Father, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, you can bring your offering. If you have one this morning during the next worship set, you can also give online, give through the app. And church, thank you so much for your faithfulness.
The rock won't move and this world is strong. The rock won't breaks the power of sin and darkness. His love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Rules the nation with truth and justice.
Mind means giving up. Well, I surrender, I give up. But you know what? I thought when you surrender to Jesus, you're giving up, but you're getting victory over Satan. So you give up to Jesus, and then you get victory over Satan. Amen? So we win. We win over Satan. Not so easy sometimes. Sometimes people want to hang on to that old life, right? That's the hard part about surrender. But in that surrender, we have victory. There is no loss in our surrender. There is no loss. We only gain. We only game, Jesus.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
Welcome again. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're with us. As Billy mentioned earlier, there's a form on our website, WileyMethodist.org, or also on our Wiley Methodist app where you can register. That's for guests and our members. It's good to, we're starting to kind of get some, you know, where people are feeling a little more comfortable about coming back. That's awesome. If you're still not there yet, live stream audience, no shame. It's okay. We bless you as well. Glad that you are with us. If you are not on our web, in our email list and would like to be, just jot down your email. You can put that on the online form, but also you can just jot down your email on a piece of paper and hand it to me, and I'll get you added. We do a lot of communicating through our email and our app, so if we don't have your email, then we can't let you know about these things. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Apostle Paul, we're going to pick it up in verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Big S, Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. Did you know that? Did you know you're in a battle? Spiritual battle? Every single moment. So that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts, this is a pretty, there's lots of lists like this in God's Word. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, which we think probably not too many of us have little statues in our on our mantle that we worship, maybe not, but we do we not have other idols? There's one of them right there. If you didn't see that, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred. We're going to find ourselves on this list somewhere, guys. Discord. I want to stop for just a second on the Discord. I want to brag on you, on our church. Hello, anybody else understand what I'm saying here? I know that sometimes in churches, discord, I mean, you're like, really? Y'all are Christians? I mean, you ever been to one of those kind of places? But I have never, I've been here 18 and a half years as a pastor. I've never been to a meeting where there's been discord. Not once. And give yourself a hand. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Those are not things of the Spirit when we have discord. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Man, this list is getting really personal. Dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this is pretty strong stuff. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't say those who struggle with these temptations or these things, but if you surrender to this, if you live like this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's God's word. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need a fresh word from you. We ask you to come and to speak in power and authority. Pierce our hearts and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series today. Let the church arise. Let the church arise. In these turbulent times, man, we need to shine brightly, church. We need to shine brightly. Today's message is walk the walk. And as I was planning this series, the question that inspired me as I began to pray into this sermon series was, what does the church have that the world needs? What does the church have that the world needs? And today's message, the short answer is, the world needs authentic, Spirit-filled Christians. The world needs it. I'm gonna talk quite a bit about Ravi Zacharias today. I've mentioned this in the last several weeks. Some of you are not familiar with Ravi Zacharias, and this I want you to know. This is not this is not my judgment of Ravi Zacharias, and I'm not trying to bash him, but I'll tell you more of the story here. But there are lessons to be learned. That's Ravi Zacharias, and this passed away in the fall, and all sorts of things have broken loose since then and come to light about his private life since then. He was a Christian apologist and author. Apologist meaning he explained the Word of God, and I've never listened to anyone that did it better than Ravi Zacharias, just explaining the Word of God. I mean, one of the things that he did was a lot is he would go to college campuses where there were a lot of young people that were still struggling to figure out what they believed and so forth, and he would present the gospel in such a clear and concise manner and with love and compassion, and it was just no telling how many people came to the Lord because of the message of Ravi Zacharias. I respected him greatly. Cheryl and I both were. He was high on our. Now, he wasn't Jesus. We knew that all along. He wasn't Jesus. He wasn't our Savior. But I respected this man. What's come to light since his death, and it's not rumors or innuendos, there's been investigations and all sorts of things confirming this, that Ravi Zacharias was living two lives. He had a private life. I've just explained what he was doing publicly, but he had a private life where I think he was a sexual addict at best and perhaps a sexual predator at worst. All sorts of things have been come out that have been proven through text messages and pictures and investigations and all sort of things. The impact, first of all, the impact it's had on me and Cheryl has been great. It has not damaged our faith in God, but man, it's like, this guy fooled us. And I can't even imagine the young people that came to the Lord through his messages. What is it doing with these people about their faith? The damage that's been done from this double life that he lived is immense. I'm telling you, when we profess Christ, it's a heavy responsibility. The world is watching. And we have great power it's kind of like Superman. I don't know if y'all watch the old, But remember his earthly father, Superman, said, "You have great power." Was it Spider-Man? Okay, it was Spider-Man. I'm sorry, I'm getting my superheroes mixed up. But you have great power, and with great power comes great responsibility, and that is how it is with a Christian. We have the power to bless and to draw people to Christ, and we have the power to damage the gospel message immensely. And at the root of that damage is this word called sin. And Paul is talking about it in Galatians that there's this battle. It's going on, the flesh, the sinful nature, and the spirit, and they're in constant conflict with one another. And it's like, which one do we surrender to? And so, I'm going to jump in here, and we're going to talk about sin today, the impact of sin in our lives. I've been listening to a lot of people speaking on this issue, the Ravi Zacharias issue, but also on this, just the impact it's had on the evangelical church. That's one of the reasons I get a lot of people over the years. I've gotten a lot of people that well, I hadn't been to church in 30 years because a pastor hurt me or a person at the church hurt me, and my response is always the same. You're putting your faith in the wrong person. Don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in one another. You put your faith in Jesus, because I promise you, he will not disappoint you. Sin, never underestimate the power of sin in our lives. It destroys. So I'm going to jump right in here. The first point, and there's, you can get on our app, on our app, there's every week there's an outline if you wanted to follow along. Sin harms you and others. It destroys. I've said this before, but here's the way I picture it, and here's the way I believe that the enemy works. He entices us. It's like, oh, just do that. Just look at that one picture. That won't hurt anybody. Just go to that page. Just put that one picture. Just tell that one little lie. Just keep. How many times have you seen somebody that's been caught for embezzling? It's like, I was going to pay it back. Have you ever heard that? I was going to pay it all back. And that probably was really and truly the truth. It's like, well, I'm just taking $50. But then next week, I'm just taking $100. And I've known examples right here in Abilene, Texas, people I've known that embezzled, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Things like from youth football, from their work, from the Boy Scouts, whatever. I mean, you put in a position of authority. That's why, by the way, it's kind of getting off topic here, but I don't ever touch the money. I don't want to touch the money here. I don't count the money. I don't know the combination in the safe. I don't want it. We have people that do that, and we always do that in pairs, never one person. So there's an integrity to that. Sin harms us and others, and the power of that can, we start with just this little thing, and the enemy, he just whispers these little things in our minds, and he's like, oh, just that won't hurt anybody. That's not hurting anybody. Just do that one little thing. He entices us, and then when we act on it, guess what the enemy does? Shames us. So you get this enticing, just do this one little thing. It won't hurt anybody. And then when you do it, it's like, you, Hatcher, you are a scumbag. Look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Do you ever have those conversations in your mind? What's happening there is the enemy, the flesh, when we surrender to the flesh, he's enticing us and then he shames us. I want you to know, God convicts, but he never shames. God never shames us. If you're feeling shame, that's not God's voice. God will convict us that that's not the way to life, that that is damaging to you, that you shouldn't make that decision, but he never shames us. It's important to know. This passage we just read today, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. There's that conflict. The Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do what you want. That you do not do what you want. Now, and I said it earlier, but those who, when we surrender to the flesh, and I'm not here to judge Robbie Zacharias or any of you, anyone else. That's the old saying, that's above my pay grade. That's God's business. I'll let him work all that out. But I'm just reading the word. Those who live by the flesh, by the sinful nature, those who surrender to that will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's God's word. You take that and do with it what you will. Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. In our culture today, it's like, my goodness, I'm just like I said, sometimes I think my head's going to explode. Some of the stuff I read, and I'm like, no, that didn't happen. Sure, that didn't happen. They didn't vote for that. They're not for that. That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. It's like, there's a way that seems right. But the destination, when we take that path, when we take the path of the flesh, the sinful nature, the end result's always death. And I don't know, I really can't think of any situation, maybe it's happened, but where someone lives a life of sin and they're leading that double life and it's like they get away with it the rest till they go and they die. Maybe that's happened, but typically we get caught. And even so, it's not just eternal death that it leads to, but it's death and destruction. It impacts you today, and it impacts all around. This situation with Robbie Zacharias, I can't even imagine the pain that his wife and children are feeling. I can't even imagine the pain that these women who he has violated are feeling. They trusted this man who's boldly proclaiming the gospel and then turned and victimized them. I can't even imagine the damage that's been done through that. But here's the good news. James says it this way in chapter 1. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. There it is, that voice of enticement from the enemy. And then after desire has conceived, so you're thinking about it, and I don't know if Corey here, I may be quoting you wrong here, but Corey gave a good deal a few years ago that a good statement that you don't have to, okay, help me out here, Corey. You don't have to, you can't keep a bird from flying through the barn, but you don't have to build it a nest. Is that close? So thoughts are not sin. Temptation is not sin. But when we let that thought nest there, if you will, what do you like that, Corey? When you let it nest there. When that desire has conceived, when we dwell on it and when that desire is conceived, it turns into sin. We act. And then it says, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's the destination. I promise you, if you're making, right now, if you're listening to me, if you're making poor decisions, sinful decisions, and you know it, I'm telling you, the destination is death. It's going to destroy. It's going to harm you and others. It's like this situation with Robbie Zacharias. It's like dropping a rock in a lake and just watching the ripples. It just goes out, and it just impacts all sorts of people. Proverbs 4 says, "Above all else, guard your heart." Because, man, when it comes in here, it comes and it takes root here. That's why things like pornography are so powerful in a negative way. It's because they begin to take root here, which impacts all kinds of stuff in our lives. Secondly, not only does sin harm you and others, it harms the message of the gospel. I said it in my email yesterday or Friday that the passage out of 2 Corinthians says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's a big responsibility. When someone becomes an ambassador, they are representing the one that has assigned them to be an ambassador. So when we just walk out our daily lives, Christ says, you're my ambassador. You're professing Christ. People are listening to you and watching you to see if it lines up, to see if it's the real deal. Philippians says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I don't stand before you as a perfect human being. I never claim to be, and I will never claim to be. I have a wife that knows better. But I just want to tell you that I'm trying to walk this out with all my heart. And I've told some of you over the years this, but when I first became pastor here in my office, because there had been some history back in the old days in this church and other churches, there had been history where pastors doing inappropriate things, harming the gospel. And I had a solid wood door in my office, and there was a man in our church who's now has moved to another city, and I called him and I said, can you cut a window in that door right there? I mean, first week, it's like, I want a window in that door. And I've told the staff, number one, I don't ever counsel women by myself. There's always going to be somebody else in the office. And I will shut the door if a young woman wants to shut the door for privacy. I will shut the door. I always make sure the blinds are open. And I tell the staff, every once in a while, just come peek. Peek in the window. It's okay. Other things, even with our staff, we have what's called a safe sanctuary policy in our church. We don't have one person alone with your children. We've had video cameras that we've had installed and all sorts of mechanisms to try to protect, to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ so that we feel safe here. Sin harms the message of the gospel. Hebrews says it this way, make every effort to be holy. Now, again, Christ is not expecting us to walk out this perfect life, but He has imparted through His Spirit, He has imparted holiness to us. We have that DNA in us now through the sacrifice of Christ. Make every effort to be holy. Without holiness that comes from Christ, no one will see the Lord. Don't you love that? I mean, we skip over some of these scriptures. It's like, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Now, I want to begin to contrast two public, very, very public ministries and two very, very public people. One of them is Ravi Zacharias, which I've been talking about. The other one is Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham, if he was still with us, he would be the first one to tell you he was not a perfect human being as well. But I believe with all my heart, because he lived to, wasn't he 100 when he died? 99? And anybody heard any major controversies about Billy Graham and his ministry? One of the reasons why, in 1948, he was just getting started. Here's what happened. In 1948, he and his team were doing a conference in Modesto, California. And he pulled them together, and this team put together what's now known as the Modesto Manifesto. Anybody ever heard of that? If nothing else, it's a catchy name. And it had several things in it. Things like, things that plagued evangelists. Like, he said, hey, one of the things that we resolve to do is we take a salary. We take a fixed salary, and if we get, you know, millions and millions of dollars into the ministry, we still just get our fixed salary. That's it. And they all resolved to do that in 1948, and to my knowledge, that went all the way through. But one of the things that was really caught my attention, they put in there in this manifesto, to guard against sexual sin, to never be alone with a woman other than their wife, mother, or daughters. Now, I was reading about this, and there's like, well, that's sexist and presidential and all this stuff and everything. And I'm like, no, it's smart. That's what it is. It's smart. It's not degrading women. It's lifting women high. We want to respect women. And the rest of the manifesto, to avoid any such situation that would even have the appearance of compromise or suspicion. In 1948, Billy Graham set in motion that manifesto, and to my knowledge, he lived it all the way up to when he went to be with Jesus. And so you have these two, and guess what? His books are still bestsellers. You go to YouTube, you can see all kinds of things where he's talking. They still show on one of the channels, they still show some of his crusades, his talks. His ministry, he's been gone a while now. His ministry's going strong. People that he led to the Lord are probably still walking faithfully. Now let's contrast that to Robbie Zacharias. And again, this is not about condemning him. I want us to get a point here. Robbie Zacharias, all this has come to light since the fall, so just a few months into this now. His publisher, they will not publish any more books. Boom. You YouTube Robbie Zacharias, you used to see all these different videos of him speaking at colleges and all. Now you know what you see? Somebody, a talking head, talking about how bad that was. Somebody, analyzing the sin. That's all you see if you YouTube Robbie Zacharias. People who had done interviews with him and put them into video series, teaching series, pull them out. I promise you, if you go over to any of our Mardell's and you try to find a Robbie Zacharias book right now, you won't find one. 6 months ago, the shelves were probably full. I've got several in my library. His ministry is over. It's done. Because he was not walking in holiness. He was living a double life. And it saddens me to even say those words because I respected the man so, so greatly. So this message isn't about Robbie Zacharias. It's about us. Philippians 2, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, which we're in which you shine like stars in the universe and hold out the word of life. Philippians 2, 14 and 16. So our call is to press into God so that we will be pure and blameless and will shine like stars as we hold out the gospel. What people should be saying is, what's different about her? Oh, she's a Christian. Man, she's just always joyful. She's all this stuff is, this chaos is going on around her, and she's just full of joy. Man, everybody else is, you know, it's like doing all these things. It's like, no, she's not. She's just walking true. What's different about her? Oh, she's a Christian. Man, not only sin harms the gospel, but a faithful, holy life glorifies God, which leads me to the third point. Holy living imparts life and brings honor and glory to God. Now, notice I said holy living. I didn't say perfection. Because we all have bad days, yes? There's a difference between a bad day. You know, I'm just kind of down today. That's a bad day. I'm just kind of down today. But having a pattern of several years of sexual molesting women is not a bad day. That's walking out a bad life is what it is. Holy living imparts life and brings honor and glory to God. Galatians 6, we've been reading from Galatians 5. Galatians 6 says, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. If we surrender to the flesh, to the sinful nature, I'm just telling you, please hear what I'm saying. It ain't going to end good. It's leading to destruction. But it goes on to say, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There's life, and not just someday, but now. Now. Jesus said it this way, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You want to surrender to the flesh? Okay. You're gonna get results from that. Fleshly results. But the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. As he gives spiritual things. I can't even tell you whatever it was 30 some odd years ago when I really turned my life over to God and just said, okay, you're in control here. It's just, man, it's just different. My marriage is different. My life is different. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit, and it's good. God, 2 Corinthians, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So he paid for our sins so that we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter, I mean, you won't even believe how many passages. You ever have one of those sermons that's like, I got 100 scriptures here. How do I pick? And I called so many scriptures that are saying this stuff. 1 Peter, but you, church, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's what our world needs. A people belonging to God. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. We're a holy nation so that we can declare his praises. People look at us and go, man, that Jesus must be something else. I want me some of that. All right, as I close, I want to read just a couple of verses here from Revelation 19. Now John's having this vision, and he's looking at how things are going to end up, and he's talking about, did you know in Scripture it talks about how we, the church, we are the bride of Christ, and how Christ is our bridegroom. Now listen to what it says about that relationship. Then John says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride, us, has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her. And then in parentheses it says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. It's when we conduct ourselves in righteousness and live a life of integrity, we are clothing ourselves, beautifully clothing ourselves for our bridegroom. I want to close with a really short video. This is just an audio of Robbie Zacharias a few years ago. And it, man, when I ran across this, it broke my heart. I want you to just listen to this and listen for that contrast of the two lives.
The Christian faith is unique in giving you the joy and the beauty of forgiveness at one of the most exorbitant prices ever. The very Son of God says, I forgive you. I forgive you. You remember the famed Jim Baker, who was at the helm of PTL years ago, and that empire fell so sadly. It was about 6 a.m. when I heard the news in the 80s, and I was heading out to play a game of racquetball when I turned it on and heard that news. I pulled up on the side of the road. I said, this is going to change the landscape for evangelicalism for sure. And it did. When he was put into prison for all that he'd carried on, he was telling the story years ago at the Christian Booksellers Convention. I remember him standing near me at the next display of books, and I told my wife, I said, I think that's Jim Baker. He doesn't look a shadow of himself. Just very gaunt and thin. He'd lost so much weight in prison. And he tells the story in his book, I Was Wrong. He said one day while he was sloshing around the prison in his overalls, cleaning the latter, the bathrooms and all of that, the guard came and said to him, there's a man here to see you. He said, I don't want to see anybody. He said, no, you want to see this man. He said, no, I don't want to see anybody. He said, I tell you, you want to see this person. I'm telling you, you better come. He said, all right, I'm going to come just as I'm like this, just as I am. I'm not going to change. All the water from the bathroom all over his overalls and his gloves taken off. He said, I walked over to the lounge there where this guest was waiting. I was shocked to see it was Billy and Ruth Graham. And he said, Billy Graham was standing there. Billy's a pretty tall gentleman. He walked over towards Jim, who is not that tall. And he wrapped his arms around Jim Baker and held him so tight. And Jim says in his testimony, I could not stop my sobbing. To be the most despised minister in the land at that time, being embraced by the most admired minister in the land. See, it's not the crassness of a million-dollar proposition. That we can all see through. It's this kind of ambiguity that we need to watch out for, a kind of a half-goodness that leads to all kinds of decisions that gradually scar the soul. And you know, what happened was not right. I look at my Lord Jesus, and I look at our day-to-day challenges of all that tempts us, and I think what Billy Graham said is haunting. He said, every day I've prayed one prayer. Lord, let me not today destroy in my life what you have taken all these decades to pour in with your grace and your mercy.
Half goodness. Lord, let me not today destroy my life, what you have taken all these decades to pour in with your grace and your mercy. Is that our prayer? We may not have the same impact that Billy Graham had. We may not have the same audience that he had. But I promise you, you have an audience, and they're watching. If you just bow your heads with me. Father, we confess that without you, we are lost. We need you, Lord. We ask that you would enable us, you would empower us by your Spirit to be holy and blameless in your sight. Help us as your bride to make ourselves ready. Help us to live by the Spirit and not by the sinful nature. We thank you for the example of those who've gone before us that have walked out that walk faithfully. Help us join that group. In Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able. As we close, and we also will have our baptisms immediately after this last song. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place today without coming and talking to me. My office is always open as well.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all
Come on up, Jackson. If you want to step right over there on that tall one. Jackson Morris comes this way. Don't sit yet. It's warm, though, isn't it? We're putting the ice in for sister. I'm sorry. Jackson came and we visited and wants to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior this morning. So we're excited about that, Jackson. So I ask you now, we talked about that word sin and how we are all sinners and we need Jesus. So do you admit that you're a sinner?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes, sir.
You want him to be your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, sir.
and you want to be baptized this morning, amen. If you will step right down there and sit, hold your nose. Me and Dad are gonna take you under here. Jackson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That water is warm, isn't it? Stay right there. Stay right there a second. All right, Jackson, remember we also talked about how God sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. So I'm going to pray for you, okay? All right. If y'all want to reach in there and put a hand on him, yeah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just rejoice. I rejoice with the angels that Jackson has said yes to you. And I also rejoice that you have said yes to him and you love him deeply. You died for him. I pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit and you'd live inside of him. That this day, from this day forth, he would be a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, buddy, you can go dry off. Bella, 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 Bella. Come on in here, girl, if you'll stand right over there. This is Bella Cook. She's also part of the Morris clan. And so you heard the questions that I just asked Jackson, and we've talked about that word sin also. Do you admit that you are a sinner? Amen. And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Amen. And do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? Amen. You know what? That yes, sir, is awesome. It's just for old people, yes. And you want to be baptized, correct? All right, if you'll sit right there. You don't have to call me sir, Heather. It's okay. It's warm, isn't it? All right, Bella, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Stay right there a second. All right, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I give thanks and rejoice with the angels for Bella as well. Thank you, Jesus, that you bled and died and you hung on a cross for her. I thank you that she loves you and you love her. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, live inside of her. May she be a brand new, bright, new creation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Heather, if you call me sir because I'm old, I'm going to bang my head against the wall or something. All right, you don't have to stand on the tall one. Yeah. Heather is also part of this Morris crew. So we ask you, Heather, and you've been a believer for a long time, but this is formalizing that and officially being baptized as Christ has asked us to do. Do you confess that you're a sinner?
Yes.
And you ask Jesus to forgive you of that sin and be your Lord and your Savior, and you wish to be baptized in that faith. If you will sit, hold your nose. Yes. Heather, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Stay right there just a second. Father, we do rejoice also for Heather. God, thank you for Jesus. I just pray, God, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit. Father, she's trusted you for a long time, but this she's saying publicly, yes, she belongs to you. Fill her with your Spirit and create a brand new creation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One more. We're not done. Is Megan out there? All right. Hi, Megan. Family, y'all want to come up? I invite you to come up if you would like. Megan Williamson comes this morning she also is a believer and has been, but she comes publicly to profess that this morning through baptism as well. All right. And with Ivy right there by your side. Megan, do you confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And do you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin? And you want him to be your Lord and your Savior? Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith? Amen. So if you will sit, hold your nose. Megan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. If y'all can scrunch in there and put a, get, if you can get a hand to her, that'd be great. If not, yeah. Lord, thank you for dying for Megan. Thank you for dying for each of us. I just pray, God, that you would fill her from the top of her head to the tip of her toes with your Spirit, that she would, God, be a brand new creation, that she drives a stake in the ground today and said, today is a new beginning. Bless her and bless this family in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.